please remain standing for our text tonight. I'd also encourage you, if you have your Bibles or the one in front of you, to open that up tonight, because we're going to jump around a little bit. But tonight we'll be focusing on 2 Samuel 6, verses 12 through 15. And it was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone six steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened animal. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you have given us your word. We know that your word is living and active. So Lord, today, please give us eyes to see and ears to hear and to enjoy and to see this blessing, to be able to hear from the one true living God. Lord, please help us to not leave this tonight unchanged, but that we will grow closer to you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the modern technology that we have today has many great benefits. For example, we're able to video chat with family members and friends who might live on the other side of the country or even the other side of the world with a click of a button. Many of you probably had some form of Zoom or FaceTime Thanksgiving and Christmas during the height of COVID. And during that time, it was a blessing to have that technology so that we could still connect with family and friends. Yet we can all agree, as great as that technology is, it can never replace the real thing. It can never replace being in the presence of one another. I can remember the joy that we had after a few months on Zoom with the youth group back there in the courtyard, finally coming back together in person. Nothing beats the real thing. And often we could take it for granted all the times we've been given being in the presence of one another until it is gone. And holidays are a great time, an especially great time to feast on delicious food. But the greatest blessing is to be able to spend with loved ones and to be in their presence. And as Christians, we have an even greater blessing, a reason to be truly thankful and joyful. And that is being able to be in the presence of the one true living God. Jesus says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." We have the great blessing of having the Holy Spirit dwell within us. The Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the Alpha and the Omega, is the one who is near to us. The one who comes down to us lowly, insignificant human beings, and yet dwells with us. It is his presence among us that is the fountain of joy and the source of all of our thankfulness. For there is no true joy and reason to be thankful outside of him. And there was a man in the Bible who exemplified this reality greatly, a man after God's own heart, King David, a man who said that danced before the Lord with all of his might. But what led David to dance with joy before the Lord? What was the source of that joy? The source of David's joy was being in the presence of the Lord. It was not ultimately to be the anointed king, winning these great battles, having great wealth or status. It was being in the presence of the Lord. So my hope for us tonight is to see that our greatest joy and our reason for giving thanks is rooted in our relationship with the Lord. A relationship that grants us the privilege to be in the presence of the Lord now and forevermore. So first, we're going to briefly look at the context surrounding this passage. Second, we're going to look at the source of David's joy and thanksgiving. And third, we're going to look at some practical examples of this text in our life. So first, let's look at the surrounding context. Well, in 2 Samuel 6, it is centered around the Ark of the Covenant and David's response to the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence with his people. Now, of course, God is everywhere at all times, but he was especially present in the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. And the Ark of the Covenant also represented the holiness of God. Therefore, God had very specific requirements on how it was supposed to be transported. One of the main requirements, as we will see, is they were not supposed to touch it. They were supposed to carry it with poles, with long poles, but nobody was supposed to actually touch the ark. And this is important for us to understand because it gives us the necessary background for what happens leading up to our text. Earlier in chapter 6, David has the Ark of the Covenant brought to Jerusalem. All seemed great and joyous. And even when you read that, it's the same response at first, except the holiness of God was disregarded when transporting the ark. We read in verse 3, and they carried the ark of God on a new cart. So instead of transporting the ark in the prescribed manner by using two poles to carry it, they used a cart instead. And this might seem like a minor detail, but it's not in what we read in the verses to follow. It says, when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God, and he took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Uzzah reached out his hand to the cart. He didn't want it to fall when the oxen stumbled. And as a result, God strikes him down for touching the ark. Now, it seems like God is being harsh or irrational here, for it was merely a simple mistake. But Uzzah should have known as a priest to never touch the ark. The whole procession was a fatal mistake waiting to happen when they decided to transport the ark on a cart instead of carrying it in the way that God had prescribed. And so because this happened, we see as a result, David was angry at God and he was afraid of him. He wanted nothing to do with the ark anymore. We read in verse 10, it says, so he sent away to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And in verse 11, we see that the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. And so that brings us to our text today, that upon hearing this, David wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to the city of David. So what caused David to go from anger and fear to joy and thanksgiving? Well, the short answer is the presence of the Lord. But this time, with proper reverence and attention to God's prescribed way of worshiping him. And this is important for us to understand as Christians. As Christians, we have the great blessing and privilege to be in God's presence and to worship him. Like David, we should rejoice and give thanks for this great blessing. However, we must also be warned that we are to do it in the way that God calls us to do it, because that's what's ultimately best for us and what glorifies God. And so we read in verse 13, and when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened animal. This time, David was doing it in the right way. And we even see an attitude change in David here, one of complete dependence on the Lord in every step of the way. David's sacrifices in verse 13 was part thanksgiving for the good start on their journey and also part prayer for the safe completion of their journey. Following God's prescribed way of transportation led to joy and thanksgiving. In verses 14 through 15 we read, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. And what we see here with David is a stark contrast to what we know about King Saul. David's attitude towards the Lord and towards the people is truly the opposite of Saul. Saul only cared about what other people thought about him. Even at the end of his life, he just wanted to save face in front of the people. Now, David, on the other hand, shows that his greatest love and concern was for the Lord. He was not ashamed to dance with all of his might. And this showed David's great humility. And there's another example with David and Bathsheba. Right? David gravely sinned with Bathsheba. But what we see in David's confession of sin before the Lord is that it was ultimately focused on his sin before God. And what's interesting, and we'll read this in Psalm 51, is that David was most concerned of being removed from God's presence. He says, cast not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Again, David shows that even though he was the king with more honor and authority than everybody else, he saw himself as nothing before the Lord. His eyes were fixed on the Lord. He was so joyful in the presence of the Lord when the presence of the Lord returned that he could not help but dance and shout for joy. And we see that this is unbecoming for a king to do. Now, a quick side note with David's wife's response. In seminary, they teach you how to interpret and how to read biblical Greek and Hebrew. We don't spend much time on how to pronounce the English words. So, how do you pronounce David's wife here? Usually it's pretty conclusive on Google, you know, translate. Four options. It's Michelle, Mikkel, Michal, or Michael. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. But what is important is the relationship that she has here. It says, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And it also says that Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants, female servants, as one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. You see, Michal, like her father Saul, was more concerned with her own appearance and perception than to be in the presence of God and worshiping him. The man that she fell in love with was the mighty warrior strong king. The man that she despised was the humble king who was so joyous that he didn't care that he was dancing in front of the people, acting as if he was just one of the people, not wearing his kingly robes, but all he cared about was being in the presence of the Lord and worshiping him. And I think her attitude is a great picture of the way the world views what should bring us joy and thanksgiving. The world prizes honor, success, status, and wealth as reasons for true joy and thanksgiving. But as Christians, where are we supposed to find true joy and thanksgiving? Well, I think to help answer that, we can go back to what happened to Uzzah. What happened to Uzzah, being struck down by God, is what should happen to us. We do not deserve to be in the presence of God for even 1 second because of our sin. How can a holy and righteous God possibly be in the presence of sinners? How are we able to be in the presence of God, even as we are right now, assembled to worship him, and like David, still be able to rejoice? It is all by God's grace and mercy. David was able to dance with joy before the Lord because of God's grace and mercy towards him. David deserved the same fate, just like us, that Uzzah received. But yet it was only by God's grace and mercy that God spared him and also allowed him to be in his presence. I think we see a picture of God's grace and mercy in these Old Testament sacrifices. Right? We read that David offered sacrifices while bringing the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Old Testament, there were constant sacrifices being made for the people of Israel for their sins. These bloody sacrifices were a constant reminder of the severity of their sin and the penalty of their sin, which is death. And it reminds us as well that sin separates us from God because God is holy. But we no longer have bloody sacrifices as the central part of our worship. And yet, we are still able to be in God's presence worshiping him. This privilege and blessing we have to be in God's presence worshiping him was made possible by the bloody sacrifice of Christ Jesus. Christ took on flesh and dwelt among his people. Right, it's one thing for God to dwell specially in the Ark of the Covenant among his people in the Old Testament, but it's a whole other thing for God to take on flesh and to dwell among his people. Because of Christ's bloody sacrifice on the cross, paying our debt for our sin, and imputing to us his righteousness, we can now dwell in the presence of God without fear of being struck down because of our sin. We can run to God like a child running to their loving father. We do not need to hide from God like Adam and Eve after the fall, or depart from God's presence like Cain after killing Abel. As Christians, we are united to Christ Jesus forever. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We can worship God in spirit and in truth. Therefore, we can dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. With this privilege, we can go to him in prayer and know that he hears us at any moment of the day. If you say, I want to hear from God, you can do that at any moment of the day by opening up his word, We know that the Bible is not just some old history textbook or a list of morals, but it is living and active, meaning that we are actually hearing from God. He is communicating to us as his people. We will never be apart or without the Lord. And thankfully, we have a God who invites us to worship him together as his people every Lord's Day. He said outside, one day out of seven, that we can rest from everything else and come to worship him. We don't just do this out of obligation, but he invites us to worship him. There's no greater purpose or joy in our lives than be able to praise and glorify God. So what are we supposed to say when someone asks, what are you thankful for this year? Well, I think we can say that our Creator made a way for us to do the thing we were created to do, to worship him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that our greatest joy is found in being in the presence of our God. Let's pray. Almighty God, you have made a way for us, small human beings, or insignificant, to come and worship the Almighty and Holy God. Lord, please press upon our hearts this privilege and blessing that we have. May it come out of us as we talk to one another, as we worship you. Let you be the focus, Lord, of all of our worship. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.